Jesus' name. I'd like to welcome each one to the service this morning. A few visitors here, several of our people are missing. Welcome you here. I invite you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 in verse 13 for a text verse. I think this is a very familiar verse, but maybe one that is not so easy to put in practice. Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, or you could say attained, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Titled the message this morning, "Burn the Ships." And the inspiration for that came from a song that I've been hearing some from King and Country. And I looked, you know, what does that actually mean, to burn the ships? And what I found in history is that there have been several commanders throughout the years, especially years gone by, that when they went to conquer a country, and when they made landfall and came on land at the new country they were wanting to conquer, the commander would give the order to burn the ships. And in some cases it said scuttle, which I guess could mean to sink, and that could be by either, you know, knocking holes in them with an axe or whatever, or burning the ships, and they would be sunk. And the reason for that was that there was no more return. And the story is told of the one commander when he did that, that one of his men laughed at the order when he gave the order. And the commander promptly killed him with his sword. And then he looked at the rest of his men to see if anybody else would dare to laugh. And of course nobody did. This morning, we are looking to Jesus Christ as our commander-in-chief. And this verse is telling us, Paul is saying, this one thing I do. I forget the things behind, and I reach forth unto those things which are before. Paul is saying, I have come to a place where I have burned my ships. I am no longer going back. And if we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, when he was still Saul and he was on the road to Damascus, we know the story well of how this bright light, even though it was at midday like it is right now, the sun shining, there was a bright light that was brighter than the sun, and he fell on his face to the ground, and he heard this voice from heaven, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And his question was, you know, "Who are you? What do you want me to do?" And then the Lord said, "I am Jesus." And Saul, he said, Jesus told him to go to the city, go to Damascus, and wait, and it will be shown you what you must do. And he went. He was led by his men that were with him because he was blind, and he was without sight for 3 days. And I think it says he fasted for 3 days as well. Excuse me. What happened in Saul's life in those 3 days? And is there something that happened to Saul in those 3 days that needs to happen to us? If we read chapter 3 here, in verse 1, he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." And when he refers to circumcision, he's referring to the Mosaic law and its rituals and things that were commanded. And Jesus said that he has come to fulfill the law, that the law, all the commandments were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I have more, that I could have confidence in the things that I have done, because I have done everything that the law asks, or more than any other man, he is saying. He said, and he gives his credentials here, so far as the law of Moses. He says, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And he says, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Is there something that went on in Saul's heart, in his soul, in his spirit, in those 3 days that we are missing out on? Brother Elmer talked this morning about being hungry and thirsty and about being filled. You know, too many times we are going back, like it talks about in Galatians, we are going back and we are trying to make ourselves servants of the law again to bring about the righteousness of God in us, when the law was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And God is not asking for us to do anything in the flesh to bring about righteousness. What he is asking of us is to burn the ships and to follow our commander without question wherever he tells us to go. Now we look at that story where the commander took his sword and he killed the man. What did that do to the other soldiers of the army? To make them be afraid to laugh. What kind of emotion do you think those soldiers felt? Anyone? Fear, exactly. Was that a proper motive for following a commander? Is that the motive that God is wanting us to have, to follow our commander? So in other words, to not follow the commander meant death. To laugh at the order of that army commander meant death. Now they could have probably, if they would have all together agreed, they could have, you know, done a mutiny and rebelled against the commander. And maybe we do that sometimes. However, the Bible is clear. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Very clear that God's heart, our commander, doesn't operate with fear. So what is the emotion that would bring about burning the ships in us? What was it that brought about the burning of the ship for Saul, that he was willing to go from persecuting the church to being sold out and being willing to die? And he considered the things he had been doing as manure, a dung heap, a pile of manure, just filth, just nothing. What was it that drove Paul, which is probably not the right word, drew, I think is the right word. Cattle are driven, sheep are led. So what is it that draws people to follow a commander with abandon like that? like Paul did in his life. What is that emotion? Anyone? Love and respect? Mm-hmm. And I think that would be reverence, awe, not fear. The fear, when it talks about fearing God, is not talking about being afraid of God. It's talking about having awe and a reverence of who God is. I don't know what happened in Saul's mind, in his soul, in his body, in his spirit, in those 3 days, but it must have been something awesome. To where he really got a picture of his commander-in-chief. And it was an irresistible love that drew him with a passion that satisfied the hunger and the thirst that he had, where he was willing to burn the ships. And he was willing to be all in, no matter what. He says, I count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. He realized the futility of trying to bring about his own righteousness. And he talked to the Corinthian church about that. That, like the serpent beguiled Eve, I fear lest your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And we would try to bring in other things, and we would go back into bondage. We have been delivered from Egypt. We have been set free from Egypt. We have been delivered from the wilderness. The way has been made for us. But we've so many times refused to walk in it. We keep going back to Egypt. We keep going back to being slaves to sin, to bondage. We keep going back to the ships and trying to escape this love. What are some of the ships that God may be asking us to burn today? I'd like to open it up. What are some ships that come to your mind? What is God asking us to burn? Anything that's against God. Self-will. Mm-hmm. Not my will. A change of desires. Mm-hmm. Very good. Anyone else? What about the ship of self-loathing, hating ourselves? And because we hate ourselves, we have to put up this wall of protection, this self-protection. We're not willing to be exposed. We're not willing to allow people to see who we really are. And we have to put up a wall to protect ourselves. What about the ship in the self-protection? There would be, in getting rid of that ship, there would be the being vulnerable, of being willing to go out on a limb and trusting God, of not having to be in control, the ship of control. And most all of those ships, I think, are motivated by fear. We're afraid. We're afraid of what people think, of what people say about us. Because we don't understand what our commander-in-chief says about us. We don't get that in our hearts. Paul says, found in him, in verse 9, and not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith, through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So he is saying that what was driving him was to know Jesus Christ, to know his commander in chief, to know him intimately, and to experience the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, but also to be willing to suffer just like he suffered, and to be willing to die if that's what it meant. And we see the account in Acts of Paul being stoned, and he gives a list in Corinthians of all the different things that he endured for the cross of Christ. Paul was stoned at this one time, and they drew him out of the city. Sounds like they, you know, they drug him like a dead animal out of the city. And when Paul came to, what did he do? He went back into the city. If a man would have been controlled by fear, he would have run, right? He wouldn't have gone back to the city. But the love of Christ, and Paul writes that in 2 Corinthians 5 about the love of Christ constraining us. There are other words that you could use. Some translations use the word compel. The love of Christ compelled him to go back into the city. Drawing would be another word you could use for that. Preoccupy is another word in the Greek definition of that word. Another one is to throng. The love was so around Paul. How would you like to be thronged with love compared to being thronged with fear? Another one is, I really like that one. I saved it for last. To be taken with. To be taken with. Just totally enthralled with the love of our commander in chief. You know, I believe there are times that we need to go back and we need to look at our story, what happened. Maybe there are times we need to repent. Maybe there are times we need to go back and say, I'm sorry to someone. But there comes a time when those things need to stay behind, where we need to burn the ships and we move forward. We step out of that self-loathing, that self-protection, that fear, that poor little me. And you remember the three positions of the will, the why, the grr, and the ah mode. We need to get out of the why mode, you know, where we're constantly complaining, we're feeling self-pity, and we're feeling sorry for ourselves, or we're angry. We take our will in our hands, and we're angry, and I'm going to make this happen no matter what. There comes a time that we need to burn the ship. We need to get rid of all of that behind us, and we press forward. We reach forth to what God says, to the newness of life, the love of Christ leading us, drawing us. We, the Bible says, are the sheep of his pasture. We are not cattle that are driven with a whip, but we are sheep that are led, that are drawn, that are encouraged, that are fed. It's up to us if we want to come or not. There is no sword to kill us if we don't. But to not follow means misery. You know, we can follow half-heartedly and probably still make it to heaven. However, we will not conquer the country that our commander-in-chief, or we won't be part of the army that is conquering the country that our commander-in-chief is conquering. We cannot enter the kingdom and walk with our commander arm in arm, hand in hand, unless we have that full surrender, unless we burn the ships and we leave the things that are behind and we reach forth to those things which are before. He says in verse 11, Paul says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You know, so many times we don't attain to the resurrection of the dead because we're afraid to die. The Bible talks about people who their whole life were in bondage because of the fear of death. And that could mean physical death, but I think it means more importantly, death of a soul, death of what we feel. You know, so many times we probably make idols out of what we feel. And if it doesn't feel good, then we can't go there because we have to feel good. And our feelings control us. We're afraid of pain. We're afraid of being hurt. If Jesus would have been afraid of pain and would have been afraid of hurt, he wouldn't have given himself with his arms wide open and his heart exposed to hang on the cross for our sin. He took our sins and our iniquities upon himself. They weren't forced on him. He took them. He gave his life. He burned his ships. The Samaritans didn't receive him because his face was set to go to Jerusalem and he knew what was going to happen there. But he went on anyway. He had burned the ships. And he finished burning the ships when he came into Gethsemane and he wept and he travailed there because he knew what was going to happen. Daniel is another man. You know, when he knew that the decree was signed that if any man worships anyone other than the king for the next 30 days, that he's going to be thrown into the lion's den. Daniel had burned his ships. He went to his window and he prayed just like before. He was willing to die, even though he didn't at that time. So if Daniel would not have been willing to go to his window and pray just like before, he would have been kept in bondage because of the fear of death. Our commander-in-chief is saying this morning, burn the ships. Won't you let me burn the ships? Won't you let me into your heart and deal with the pain? Deal with the hurts and burn those ships so that you can follow me, so that you can receive my love and be drawn with my love and follow me with all of your heart. You know, when we think of a heart and we think of just the top part of it, and we say, I am worshiping God with all of my heart, but we have only given him this much of it, we're only worshiping him with one-tenth of our heart because the fear of death has kept us from opening the rest of our heart to him. Paul says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So he didn't count himself to have attained or to be perfect. Is there anybody here this morning that is perfect, counts himself to have attained? Probably not. But what Jesus is saying this morning is, burn the ships of your reputation and just come as you are. And he says, I've made the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I forget the things which are behind, and I reach forth into those things which are before. I press toward the mark." I don't just haphazardly go towards it. I press for it, toward it. I give everything I've got. I reach for it. I go for it. For toward the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect." Are you perfect this morning? See, we have to separate spirit, soul, and body to answer that. Paul says, "I don't count myself to be perfect." So he's speaking of his soul. But he says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect." And he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And we can't reconcile that if we don't separate spirit, soul, and body. So in your spirit, he says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect in our spirit." In other words, if you've been born again, if you've been made a new creation, be thus minded. "And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my beloved brethren, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." So he is saying, burn the ships, stand fast in that, don't give up, don't look back, but keep on pressing on toward that mark. There are many other examples in the Bible we could look at, but I see time is going too fast again. One of the examples we could have looked at was Gideon. When Gideon was faced with the Midianite army, it took a lot of doing for him to finally burn his ships and finally say, "I'm going to go for it." He had to have a dry fleece and a wet fleece. He had to hear from God. He had to split up the army, send the people who were afraid home, and end up with only 300 men. And then he had to go down to the enemy's camp and hear one of them tell a dream about a barley cake that came down and knocked over a tent. And his fellow said, "This is nothing but the sword of the Lord and Gideon." And then he was finally convinced that he could burn his ships, that he could be all in and he could go. And I think so many times we are like that, where we have to have, like Jesus, in Jesus' day, that the people look for a sign. And Jesus says there's not going to be any sign given you but the sign of the prophet Jonah. So many times we are looking for a sign. We are looking for confirmation. We're looking for this and we're looking for that, instead of just simply surrendering and opening our heart and inviting God to take down the walls to our heart and expose the lies and expose the hurts and to bring those and be healed and surrender and follow in love. Refer again to the Stockdale paradox, accepting the brutal reality that life is not going to be easy, that there are going to be adversities, there are going to be trials and tribulations. However, in the end, it's all going to come out all right. And however, that's only true if we follow Jesus, if we trust Him. You know, if we turn our back on Him, if we refuse to accept Him as the Son of the living God, and we insist on taking our own way, then it won't come out all right in the end. Because He is the one that makes the end come out all right. Like some people say, you choose the destiny and accept the way. It doesn't matter what the way is when we know who we are following and His love is drawing us, is leading us, is with us every step of the way. As He promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26, He said this to His disciples, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" We look at what is in the soul. And I referenced to this briefly a little bit ago. The mind, the will, the emotions, the heart is where our feelings are. And so many times we are refusing to burn the ships. We are refusing to be all in because we think we have to protect the soul. Our mind, will, and emotions, what we feel. We think we have to protect our heart from damage, from hurt, because we've been wounded. There's probably not anyone here today that has any age that hasn't been wounded in some way, shape, or form. And so many times our answer to that is to put up walls of protection around us to protect what we feel. And when we do that, Jesus says we will lose our life. We'll not be able to live. We'll be in bondage. Because we're afraid of dying. Let's burn the ships already. Because when we die to self, we take up the cross, we follow Jesus with abandon. Doesn't matter if it hurts. It doesn't matter what religion says. It just matters what God says about me. Who does He say I am? That is all that matters to any one of us. Is who does He say we are? And being willing to die. And then He says, you'll have life. And not just any old life, but the life of Christ, an abundant life. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Out of your life will flow the fruit of the Spirit. Because it's in His DNA. Just quickly read here out of Luke chapter 14 in closing here. "And there went great multitudes with Him." The great multitudes, I think they were looking for all these miracles, all the healings, and all the good things. "And He turned and said unto them, If any man come to Me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple." Cannot enter the kingdom and walk with the commander and do war with the commander unless we burn the ship. "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Burning the ship, forsaking all that we have, and just saying, God, I just give it all to you. And guess what? When we choose that, when we choose death, then God says, you know what? I have something far better for you. I have life for you, a life that is beyond your wildest dreams, anything you've ever imagined. It won't always be easy, but he'll always be there for us. He says, salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor or his flavor, as we would say today, wherewith shall it be seasoned? He said, it is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So the question for us this morning is, does the love of Christ constrain us? Does the love of Christ draw us with such force, compelling force? Or are we merely in mediocrity, just, you know, dabbling along and hoping that we'll somehow make it? Or is the love of our commander-in-chief more important to us than anything else in life? That is the question. Is it so important to us that we are willing to burn all the ships? And we're willing to ask the Father, Father, what are the ships in my life that you want me to burn? To give up for you. Because you are worth more than anything or anyone. That is the question for us today. Why don't we stand at this time for prayer?